the theme this week of I Am Resolved. And so probably I plan to bring that topic up each evening. How do you measure resolve? Have you seen people that had a lot of it? And some seem to not have any. It's not like we can measure the oil in our automobile where we got a dipstick, we pull it out and it says add, and that's a little checkered area there where it says safe, and then where it says full, is it? Can't do that. But there's some people that are very resolved. Well, you say, well, they're very determined, which is right. How determined you feel you are? On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think you would hit in that scale? 1 being not much, and 10 being very resolved. You know people that are very resolved? You probably do. You're probably thinking in your mind now of somebody that you know, that they're resolved. I mean, they got a job, it's no quitting. I went one time years ago to a home over in Mississippi, and this lady, she probably, I'd say, weighed 100 pounds. Her husband is there, bedridden, and she's got him at home, and he is, I guess he's unconscious. I saw no consciousness from him while we were there. And this brother told me that took me there and said, it's been like this, and I forgot how long it was, but it's been like this a long time with her and him. And she was determined to keep him there and determined to take care of him, to keep him turned as best she could, and there she is. And I say she may have been 75 years old. Yeah. Little bitty lady. Very cordial. Very nice. A lot of determination. You remember when you was baptized? I do. I was 9 years old. You remember how you felt? Do you think you got that feeling still in your life? Do you still have the feeling that you had that resolvement that you had then? You felt like that you could be faithful to the Lord until you died? Till your life on this earth is over? Well, what is resolve? What is being resolved? It's a firmness of purpose. You're not wishy-washy. You're not blown about. You're not distracted. You don't quit. You don't give up. You don't give in. You don't give out. Can you imagine women years ago raising a family, sometimes 10, 11, 12. They didn't have washing machines. They didn't have dryers. They didn't have electric stoves. They didn't have chainsaws to cut the wood up. And there they were on the farm day in, day out. There. Most of their life, I read one time where people 150 years ago did not go over 20 miles from where they were born. They were born, they were raised on the farm, and they lived there all their life. Friends, they had to have a lot of resolve. I'm telling you, they did. They had it much harder than a man, in my belief. Kind of remember where they got that old saying from, man works from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. And I dare say that might have been where that came from. But today it's not quite that way, is it? We've got so many modern conveniences and things to make our life easier. What was in the prayer tonight? You notice what was said? He says, Lord, we're thankful to live in an area where the Bible has so much, I believe the word you used, Tony, was interest, something like that. Don't think I've ever heard that before, Brother Tony. But that's good, because that's encouraging when the Bible has a lot of interest, because it encourages me to be more motivated, to be more determined, to be more resolved in serving God. Because we encourage each other. We feed off each other. And that's good. And I want to be an encourager, don't you? I mean, friends, if we can't do anything with life, we can be an encourager. Can't we? Sure we can. We can be encouraging in our life and our talk and our manner of life. Now Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, and this is my humble opinion about this scripture. And as a Christian, this scripture, this part A of 1 Corinthians 9 27, this scripture pretty well, to me, sums it up about the Christian life. What Paul said about himself. Now, he didn't say exactly what I've got on the board tonight, but he did say, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Now, do you think he said this? I keep my body under control and make it my slave. The attitude that he had. I keep my body. I keep under my body. I bring my body into subjection. Friends, we know throughout the Bible that's exactly what went on in our Lord's life. We know that. That's what His life was about, of doing God's will. And in fact, you might remember that He prayed in Mark 14 and 36. Jesus said, Father, all things are possible unto thee. You notice that very carefully what he said. All things are possible unto thee. Before he was crucified now, that's what he said. Take away this cup from me. Friends, he was facing the most horrible death, as far as we know, that man faced. Death by crucifixion. Death by crucifixion. And so he was praying to God. He said, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, he said, not what I will, but what thou wilt. I mean, you know best. Your will is what we're going to go by. What you want me to do, all things are possible for you to do, God. Not Father. Take away this cup from me. But he is resolved. He said many times, as you read about the things he said, speaking to Joseph and Mary, I must be about my Father's business. Do you feel that way about your life? That you've got a mission? You've got a purpose? And your mission or your purpose in life is to be about God's business? Friends, we got a lot of plans, haven't we? And we got a lot of plans. We've got a lot of thoughts about what we're going to do this summer. School is out for some of you. What am I going to do? What am I going to do with my time? How many of us have plans? And God is at the top of the list. If we're going to be about our Father's business now, as Brother Ben said tonight, it's revival meeting time here in Randolph County. But are we really revived? Revival means, again, to live. Ever feel like it's been good to go? Been good to be here, that you have been inspired, you have been uplifted, you have been revived, that you have been motivated, that you can say, and it's my intention that when you be here, that you be more resolved. Be more resolved. Be more ready to face whatever this life holds for you and I. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. And let's read about the parable of the sower. Mark chapter 4. We're going to read verses 3 through 8. Then we're going to skip over and read verses 14 through 20. And I was speaking here in Mark chapter 4 and verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now, skip on over to verse 14. As he explains to his apostles the meaning of the parable of the sower. Verse 14. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now it's gone. And these are they likewise which sown on stony ground, also when they had heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. Now look at verse 17. And have no root in themselves. Have no root in themselves. How do you feel about yourself? Do you feel like that within you, you have root? That the word, it's pretty fertile inside you, so to speak. And the word within you is going to take root. It's going to grow. It's going to multiply. It's going to increase. Seriously, do you feel like in your life that you really encouraged anybody to be a Christian? Have you? What are we saying? I want to be a soul winner for Jesus. Do we really? You really want to be a soul winner for Jesus? Friends, you got to have some root in yourself. You got to have some depth. You got to have some dedication. You got to have resolve within yourself. You can't be wishy-washy. No, you can't. They have no root in themselves, and so endure it but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. You ever been offended? You ever been offended? Get your little feelings hurt, stick your old lip out and pout. And you do that. You ever do that? Yeah, you have a pout with your wife. You ever do that and you walk down the hall, you try not to touch her, so you pout. Ain't that pretty? Ain't that something? That's real Christian like, isn't it? Where you gonna pout? Let me say something to you. And me and Brother Tim talked about this before service tonight. And I think this applies to everybody. If you're going to be a preacher, you can't be thin-skinned. But I think that applies to Christians. I do. You can't wear your feelings on your sleeve. You don't want to be offended. You don't want to give up and give in because of what somebody said or did to you. I mean, let it ride. Let it go. Let it slide. He said they're offended. And they're gone. And these are they which also are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world. Go name three things right here. Three things. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. Entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And what was one time a promising member of the Lord's church? What happens? The cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things choke out God's word. Now, so tonight, what are we going to do? We don't let these things stop us, do we? I know you got to work. That's right. You got to work. I know that. But you cannot let the world interfere with your service to God. Can't do it. No man that warreth and tangleth himself with the affairs of this life. And friends, we get all wrapped up in things. Oh, we do. Oh, yes, we do. We get all excited. We get all worried about things that don't really matter. It don't really matter. What matters is people. People matter. People matter. And friends, when you stumble, when you fall, you may drag somebody else down. That don't mean that they can blame you, but you may cause somebody else to stumble and to fall. Just because you aren't motivated, just because you aren't resolved enough, they fell among thorns. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Brother Brad taught us a lesson one time down at Auburn. He taught about this. And he said this, there's nothing wrong with a seed. It's the ground, it falls. That's the problem. And it is, he's right. The seed is pure. The seed is right. The seed is perfect. But friends, what about me? What about my life? What am I doing with the seed that has been sown? Friends, just years ago, I was going home one night from mothers and daddies. And I thought this to myself. I thought, Wilbur, if you lose your soul, it is nobody's fault but yours. You've had every opportunity, so to speak, they can be. My mother, oh, she's so strong in the Lord. I'm so thankful. You better be thankful for your mom or your dad, too, let me tell you. That you had the opportunity to know it, and many of you were raised just like I was raised. As Paul spoke to Timothy, from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. He said, and first he was in your grandmother. He didn't say a word about grandpa. I don't know. In your mother. It's in your mother and your grandmother. And I'm persuaded it's in you also, Timothy. What, Timothy, you got some root in yourself. You've got some root in yourself, Timothy. And you want to bring forth fruit in your life. Back in the old Bible, a man named Joshua said this, and the children of Israel was up and down, in and out, hot and cold. Moses is dead now. Joshua's taken over. And he spoke to them and said this to them. He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity." Sincerity. And truth. "And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Can't you just almost like you can just hear him, see him pounding and telling them. "And if it seem evil unto you this day, unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." Make a choice with your life. "Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." And then he said this, "But as for me," tell y'all something. He said, "As for me, and as for my house." Well, you going to speak for your house, Joshua? Yep. I'm going to speak for them too. I'm going to tell you about me. Not just me, my house. What do you think about your house? Well, you know, preacher, I guess I hadn't been the leader I should. Let me tell you, brethren, you men, something tonight. You have got to be the spiritual leader of your family. You look yourself dead in the mirror and say that to yourself, you have got to be the spiritual leader of your family. You've got to be that spiritual leader. And you love your wife. Husbands, love your wife. That is a command. That's not a suggestion. That is not something that you can look over or look back. You'll go straight to hell if you don't love your wife or your wife. I'm telling you, that's a command. Straight from the book. You'll lose your soul. Oh yes. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church. And friends, that's some strong words in Ephesians chapter 5. You read that, you see. Strong, straightforward words. He don't beat around the bush at all in that, so to speak. Husbands, love your wives. Joshua said, what did he say? "As for me, and as for my house, we will serve the Lord." Tell you like it is, man. And you know what happened? You ever read the rest of that chapter? Look at verse 31. "And Israel served the Lord." Listen to this. Listen to this man's influence, okay? "All the days of Joshua, in all the days of the elders that overlived," we use the word outlived, "that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." Friends, that man's influence was so strong, as I understand the Bible, it reached on down. And his influence didn't end at his death. And let me tell you something tonight, yours is not going to either. Nope. Good or bad, they're going to remember you. "Yeah, I remember old brother so-and-so. He'll tell a lie. And sister so-and-so, she was a gossip." That's what you're going to be remembered for? Is that what you're going to be remembered for? Old brother so-and-so, he's easy getting offended too. He wouldn't always come. Just every now and then, you couldn't count on him, you couldn't depend on him. I am resolved no longer to linger. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, again we're speaking here about Paul and some of his words. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 8. Paul says this about what's going on with him. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. Now, what does that mean? What does the word manifest mean? What do you think it means? That Jesus Christ's life would be manifest in our bodies. It means it's obvious. It's obvious. It's very obvious of who they're serving. Okay? You seen that in people? Very obvious what their life is about. Very obvious. You don't have to wonder. But we know what their life is about. And that's what we see in Paul's life. Christ's life is manifest. Now, what's that going to do for you? It's going to motivate you. It's like Joshua. It's like Joshua we read a while ago. Motivation. Because it's obvious what Joshua's life was about. I went to the other day on my job. I was working, and we had this house that as a child, I got so many good memories of it. It was my Uncle Gene Pitts. He was my granddaddy's brother. And that's like I was 7, 8, 9 years old. I've been there many times. The house now is fixed to be burned down. It's out in the country. And out from between Kent and Eclectic, which probably y'all never heard of. But I got a lot of good memories of that place. But anyway, I used to go there as a child. Now, I was like 9 years old, and Uncle Gene was born in 1880. So, he was 70 about 70. And you're talking about a motivator. I mean, and I still know things. Remember things that he taught me as a child. And you know one thing that I remember so well about him? He always had time for me. And I know I was a pest. There's no doubt in my mind. Because when I was 8, 9 years old, but he had time for me. But what he hammered to me was serving God. I'm telling you. Now, he was my great uncle. My granddaddy's brother. There he was. And he'd be 69 or 70. I'm trying to think about what time frame. And I looked at that old house and I thought about how many times I went there and Aunt Lou would cook those, what we call them, angel biscuits. But she had those yeast biscuits. I remember going there. Remember where the strawberry patch was? So many good memories. But I remember so much about him. The reason I'm telling you that for a reason. You may have had people in your life like that for you. But you can be a light. You can be an example. You can be an encourager. If you're resolved enough. If you have this firmness of purpose. If we have it. Second Corinthians chapter 3. in verse 5. Look at this one. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Now, Paul knew where his strength was. And you can know that too. You can know that too. That your strength is in God. Your help is in God. In fact, he said on one occasion, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things. Christ will strengthen me to help me through life. Now friends, life is not easy. Even though we have many things that make it more easier for us than some people. But life is not going to be easy. There's going to be good days and bad days. There's going to be ups and downs. But God will be with us. God will help us. God will guide us. God will support us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll always be there. Always be there for us. Our Father cares about us. Our Father loves us and knows us. Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ died for you. That you might have a better life when this life is over. But He wants you to be motivated. He wants you to have this firmness of purpose. You can't give up. You can't give in. You can't quit. There's an old song that we had. Somebody's stumbling over me. You may have never heard that song, but we had a record years ago in the Lemuel Brothers. We had a record by them. And that was on that record. Somebody's stumbling over me. And it'd be sad to think about that we've been a stumbling block for somebody else. And we don't want to be that. And so we've got to be with the attitude, I am resolved. I am resolved. God has given me so much. He's given you talent. He's given you the ability to learn, to live in a country like we live in, as Brother Tony said tonight in his prayer. Where you've got other people that have so much interest in God's Word. You can just look around you tonight. And the interest is here. And friends, do you want to encourage that interest? As you live your life for your Lord. As you push on. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 6. Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And then he said, the key to his life, I have fought a good fight. And friends, your life, let me tell you now, your life is going to be a fight. That's right. Satan's going to fight you. Satan's going to try to drag you down. Satan's going to try to pull you away. Satan's going to try to tell you, that's not important. Don't do that. Let it go. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Don't that excite you? Oh yeah. Henceforth, there is laid up for M.E. Think about this for a moment. Could you say this right now? There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all those that love is appearing. You want to see him come back right this red hot second? Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight? I ain't got to drive back to Auburn. You ain't got to go home. That this could be it tonight. And it may well be. It may well be. Because friends, we look for a better land. I heard a man say one day, what's his daddy? And he said, Daddy, we're studying the Bible. And he said, what you doing, Daddy? He said, I'm studying for my final exam. That's what he said. He said, Daddy told me that. I'm studying for my final exam. Friends, are you ready? I'm asking, are you ready? What Brother Ed say that time? Is your suitcase packed? I like that, Brother Ed. Is your suitcase packed? Why not tonight? Why not tonight? If you're not a member of the church, come tonight. Don't put it off. It may not come to you again like it's coming tonight. If you are a member, you've gone away. Come back. Humble yourself. Come back. Come back to me. Won't you come? Together we stand and we stand.